Mickey Gilley, one of the all-time great country performers. Mickey Gilley had 17 number one hits. If you remember Urban Cowboy, it was filmed in Gilley's, the world's largest nightclub, or so he told the people at Guinness, and they believed it and wrote it down. But he had 17 number one hits, Record of the Year, Entertainer of the Year, Grammys, all kinds of great records. In 2009, he had a horrible accident. He fell backwards helping someone move a piece of furniture, a small piece of furniture. Woke up 2 days later paralyzed. The reason Mickey is on the show is he's coming back. He's going to start touring again. And it's a neat story. It's an incredible adventure that he's had. He's very positive. Yeah, he's getting the use of his hands back again, and we'll be able to play again, I'm convinced, soon. He's walking around, and he wants to get back singing and touring. And it's just a wonderful opportunity for me to sit and talk to Mickey Gilley, so please stick around. Mickey Gilley, man.
Mr. Steve Martin's pleasure.
What a pleasure.
Honor.
Thank you. What a legend. I'm sitting in the same room with Mickey Gilley.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. At 78, you know, I'm just glad to be still here on the face of the earth with all these fine folks that love country music.
Wow, man. I'm reading through the story of what's recent and what you're doing now, and then you think back to all the great music that you've done. It's a phenomenal story.
I told some of the people, you know, that I was talking to earlier today, you know, I think I could have had much more success with my career had I not been in a party mode. Being young as I was, I was out there, you know, let's make the records, let's go party. Let's make the records, let's go party. I was concentrating more on the party than I was making the records. But I can't complain. The folks gave me 17 number one songs.
I was going to say, you did okay for partying. What, would you have 100 if you didn't party?
Well, I mean, you know, George Strait now has got the record as far as number one songs, and Conway Twitty had them quite a few. They hold the record, I think, for country acts being the most number one songs. But 17, I'm happy with that.
Oh, absolutely. And all the great music. And, you know, when you go back and listen to all the things you've done, you've got all the great, there's like a honky-tonk sound
I played the piano up until I fell and hurt myself, and my hands hadn't come back to where I can play the keyboard yet. I hadn't given up on them, but it's been a long, hard road for me to contend with the fact that I used to play and I used to sing, you know, at the piano, and now I'm just doing the vocals. And I've had people come to me and say, we think you're singing better now than you did, you know, that when you're making your recordings. I said, well, one thing, I don't have to concentrate on playing the piano.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. But you have that sound, that heavy with the piano, kind of honky-tonk. Then you have the bigger, lush sound on some of your recordings.
When I did the thing that really turned my career around was working with Jim Ed Norman back when we did the film The Urban Cowboy, and he recorded Stand By Me on me.
Right.
And that was the beginning of turning my career into not being a copy of my cousin Jerry Lewis.
Right.
Which really give me some more of an identity as far as myself is concerned, Mickey Gilley. And I'm appreciative of that fact that even though I love Jerry's music and I still love playing some of his songs, I enjoy the fact that the country music fans have recognized me as somebody different than my cousin Jerry Lewis.
Well, you used to do instrumental records too. I've heard Black Mountain Rag and Rocky Top.
You know what? I've recorded so many different songs in my
but
career.
I had
a guy play me some music the other day, and I said, where'd you get that? And he says, right. On your album. I said, what?
Here's where I'm going with this, and you've already alluded to that. Great piano player, and always accompanied yourself. And then let's talk about where you are right now and what you're doing. And for the listeners who aren't aware that you had a really bad accident, what, in 2009?
July the 5th, 2009. I fell, and I damaged C4, 5, 6, and 7, a spinal cord injury, and my vertebrae, and I was paralyzed from the neck down for 3 months. I couldn't move at all. I had a neck brace on when I woke up, and they sent me down to Tier in Houston, where I went through a rehab center for 6 months. Part of it was outpatient, but I'm back this far now, and I tell everybody, you know, I'm trying to get back to normal, but what's normal for Mickey Gilley? Who knows, you know? At least I'm walking, and I'm appreciative of the fact, but the positive attitude and the keep, you know, pushing forward, and I'll enjoy working. I enjoy singing. And people ask me, what about all these things that you're doing, you know, with the clubs and things like that? You know, I'm trying to get Gilley's rebuilt in Pasadena. I got a place in Vegas at Treasure Island called Gilley's, and I got one in Pocola, Oklahoma, one in Durand, Oklahoma. Got one in Dallas. They're building one in outside of Reno. And they said, what are you getting involved in all this stuff? I said, let me tell you what. I don't want to be in the club business. I don't want to be in the theater business. I don't want to be in the restaurant business. I want to be in the singing business. And that's my goal, singing.
Well,
I'm glad you mentioned that, because since when I was arranged to come down here and do this, I went back and, of course, relived all those great things. And by the way, what kind of courage does it take to put another record out of Stand By Me? You know, that was a it was a pretty big hit, and you did it and made it your own.
I would like to try to take credit for that, but Jim Ed Norman is the one that picked it, and they used it in the film. And I mean, it just really, the arrangement he did on that song is incredible. You know, I mean, it's completely different than anything Stand By Me has ever been
Absolutely.
Done. And you know, John Lennon recorded it, and of course Benny King recorded it.
Right.
I found out here the other day that Muhammad Ali back in '63 recorded it. And lo and behold,
I do not remember that.
And lo and behold, I didn't either.
And I'm from Kentucky. He's from Louisville. Yeah. I know his career.
Somebody told me that he recorded that. So are you kidding me?
Well, you've made it now in my mind when I read in Stand By Me, I'm hearing your version. Even though I grew up in the '60s and I know Benny King, when I hear it in my mind, it's you now.
Well,
so how important is that?
It's very important to me because of the arrangement that Jim Ed did to the song.
Right.
It really gave me a great identity as far as getting close to the pop culture. You know, I mean, the song was a blues song.
You're right.
And when he recorded it, I mean, they used it in the soundtrack. I mean, it just really, really launched me into the stratosphere as far as my career was concerned. So you might take the fact that Room Full of Roses kind of launched me into the country feel. And then Jim Ed in the 80s when he recorded Stand By Me for the soundtrack to film The Urban Cowboy launched me into a different category as far as music was concerned.
Yeah.
And the audience that comes to listen to me now, I use that song as a closing number.
Really?
Well, I use it for a reason. I'm singing Stand By Me. They stand up and they leave.
Well, I want to get to that. I've been, YouTube is a wonderful thing because I've been following you since I decided to come down and was offered this great opportunity. And just, again, you were doing in 2009 what every guy does. Come and help me move something.
Yeah.
And we go pick up something.
I'm a people person, Steve. I'm a people person. So what I do, if somebody asks me to do something, you know, I do my best to do it, you know.
You were moving a piece of furniture?
And it was my fault. I stepped in a flower bed and fell backwards. I guess that's the hand of fate.
And you wake up in a hospital.
I wake up 2 days later in a hospital. It knocked me completely out. It's one hand that broke my neck.
I was going to ask you: are there breaks? Are there fractures? Or were
there fractures? And I fractured 4, 5, 6. Let's see, damage C 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Fusion
and
operations.
I don't know what all they did to me, but 6 and 7 is the one that handles my hands.
Okay,
and that's the reason why they said I had a 50-50 chance of playing piano again. Well, I hadn't given up. I can't play, but I mean, it's up here, but it hasn't got to my fingers yet.
Well, and of course, when you go through that rehab process, that's a very special thing. You get to meet a lot of good people, I bet, in that
I met people that when you see them, I think how fortunate I am that I'm able to even got this far back.
Yeah.
I saw people in there that, you know, that was no hope for them.
And it's sad. The people, you have to have a strong support around you to rehab yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you couldn't walk.
Well, right. Not only that, I mean, I had everybody praying for me, too.
Right.
I mean, I had a lot of prayers going up, and I had a lot of the support from the country music fans sending get-well letters and everything left. And, I mean, I got a positive attitude going toward the fact is that I want to get better. And when I came out on the stage there at Gillies at my theater in Branson, Missouri, and I had two girls on each side, I barely could walk. They were holding me up, and they set me down in a chair.
I saw that.
And who was in the audience? Andy Williams.
I saw that.
And I tell you what, I mean, you're talking about, they don't encourage you to get up and do better, nothing's going to do it. I mean, because here was a guy that is, I mean, a pop icon from the word go. Andy Williams out there to hear Mickey Gilley, and I'm going, my God, this is unbelievable.
Well, let's just do it this way. When you get your hands back to play the piano, because I'm
going to. That's when. I like that better.
You're going to. All right? You're going to.
They're getting better.
You're making grips now,
yeah.
and you're getting there. So when you get that back, what's going to be the first song you play and sing on the piano?
Probably Room Full of Roses, because that was the one that broke the ice for me back in, back in 1974. Or maybe True Love Ways, because I love the way, you know, that. Jim Ed Norman produced True Love Ways on me, the old Buddy Holly song.
Yeah, sure.
And every now and then I'll go to the piano and see if I can do those licks down on the piano. But so far, my hands just don't work well enough for me to play it.
It will. And when you do, you can play those two songs to start out, and then you can take it slow and get all that back in. But I did want to ask you this, and you alluded to it earlier. You used to have that full range of all your piano skills.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, were you self-taught?
Yeah. I mean, I say self-taught. I learned a lot from the musicians and working with them, you know, when the recording sessions. You have a tendency to learn as you go along in life about But the beginning of my career, I studied probably my cousin Jerry Lee more than anything else. You know, listened to his music and trying to figure out what he was playing on the piano. Okay. And I was sort of familiar with the fact that by watching him play, I picked up things. And one of the big things was the boogie. And once I got that down, I mean, I was Katie barred the door, because I mean, everything that I did was...
Then you could improvise around that.
Right, yeah.
And you were good at that.
Well, I enjoyed playing. And when I came in to work Nashville a lot of times, and they'd bring a song in that I wasn't familiar with, and the producer said, well, hell, I'm just going to have a piano player come over and do this particular part. You can learn it later, you know. But every time we did something up-tempo, Gilly, you're at the piano.
So now when you're doing this, and while we're waiting for your full hand ability to come back, which we all agree is going to happen, do you feel that, whereas you used to have those full use of all your piano skills and all your singing skills, do you feel like now that your singing is more expressive, or do you recognize that, or do you feel like you're just trying to...
I think I've learned to phrase the songs a little bit better and to present the music for the fans in a little more professional manner than before, because number one, I don't have to concentrate on playing the piano.
Exactly.
The other thing is that I got two keyboard players, and I got a 7-piece band. I got two girl singers, and we do our best to duplicate the songs as close as we can to the recording. And a lot of times I'll go back and I'll say, all right, guys, you know, that song we played last night wasn't exactly right. You need to go back and listen to the record again. And so I stay on them pretty heavy about making it sound as close as we can to the recordings. And the one thing they do really, really good every time, just about every time, is Stand By Me. But it, you know.
Sure.
I mean, because, and that's a very important lick that's got to be in that song, you know, to make it sound just the way Jim Ed recorded it on me.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, we're talking about what you do while you're waiting for your hands to come back, and how you are maybe making it more expressive as to the lyrics now. When you sing the lyrics to a word, to a song like Stand By Me, and I saw the video with Andy Williams you were talking about. But do the
lyrics... Start the tears in my eyes?
Yes, sir. Well, that's the question I'm getting to. The lyrics now, because of what you're going through now and continuing to complete your rehabilitation, do the lyrics mean more to you as you sing them to a crowd?
I think the love songs mean a lot more to me, because you think of some of the things that's happened to you in your life. And when I sing a song like I Couldn't Love Have Picked a Better Place to Die, and I think about a situation that I had at one time in my life, I can't think about the lyrics and try to sing them, because it'll bring tears to my eyes. And certain songs that I do, that I've heard on the album, you know, it brings back memories, and I have a hard time going back and re-singing those songs, because I have to sing them without thinking about the lyrics.
Right.
Because it's too emotional, you know. But I mean, that's what you want to do in a song. You want to try to bring out the emotions in a song, so when somebody hears it, they hear your voice and being honest with them, you know, about this could have happened. I mean, I think it's what made Hank Williams Sr. so great, because he wrote some fabulous songs. Even though he might not have been, some people, you know, may not think he's a great singer, but listen to the music that he wrote, you know, like You Win Again, Cold, Cold Heart, and all those tunes, you know.
They were all real.
Yeah. You know, I Saw the Light, you know. He wrote about, you know, the things that he loved, and the lyrics really meant something.
Stand By You's got to mean a lot to you right now when you sing that.
Stand By Me,
the words.
Means a lot to me. You know, that's an old Lieber and Stoller song.
Yeah, you're right.
And it was a song that Benny King came with. And, of course, they did it with that beat to it. And then when Jim Ed rearranged it, I didn't know whether you know this or not, but we spent about 3 days in a recording studio recording that song.
I did not.
And back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We did it quite a few times till he got the version that he wanted.
Well, it's like I said, and I'm not...
So it's probably one of my favorite recordings would be Stand By Me, because it's a tune that was really turned my career upside down.
Well, and now, as we watch the video of you standing up, you know, now I would think, when you're singing Stand By Me, you're thinking of all the people that have actually stood by you and helped you get
Absolutely.
Back to the point when you can walk out on stage.
And let me tell you what, when I stood up, when I was doing Stand By Me at the theater, and I stood up and the crowd stood up, I mean, I couldn't hardly finish the song, you know. I would lose it on certain occasions. So I quit thinking about it. I just do the lyrics.
All right,
and go on.
I got you. I understand what you're saying. I understand. In order for you to get through it now, right, you're singing it as a... When your injury occurred, did it affect your breathing or your speaking?
Was that it affected my breathing, but my breath came back, and my voice, I don't know if it improved or whether it just that I'm rephrasing some of the music a little bit, you know, and working on the presentation of the music.
Have you had any training since then on breath control or anything like that? So you're just doing it because
I go out and just do. I can walk about a quarter of a mile now, and I'm trying to get whether I can walk further and further.
Okay.
I can't stand up the full set and play four or five songs in a row. I can probably do four songs. I have to sit down, and so I pattern my patter. When I want to sit down, I usually sit down and I talk to the folks and tell them about the show.
And again, I keep going back to YouTube because I haven't seen you since you came back. But when you see the crowds on YouTube, they are just ecstatic that you're back performing on stage.
You know, I had a little lady write the other night. I went down and I did a date in Yuma, Arizona. And it was a pickup date because Ronnie Millsap had to cancel on account of some surgery, something he had done. So they called and they wanted me to come down all the way to Yuma from Branson. And, of course, me being the guy I am, I said, okay, you know. It didn't matter. I wasn't doing it for money. I was doing it because I wanted to go down and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to fill in for Millsap.
Sure.
And I wanted to do as good a job as I could do for him. And the lady, the next time that she texts somebody and she says, I have seen a lot of acts come in. She said, the first time on the second show, I saw an act get a standing ovation when he walked out. And that's happened to me twice.
Well, and right now you're going to do more of that.
Well, I just want to present the music and do the songs for the folks and do them as best I can every time. Every time I walk out on stage, I give them 110%, as much as I've got in me. And I don't like to cancel. My problem is a lot of times I'm not in totally voice command. And, you know, you get scratchy throat and everything every now and then, and you can't project like you want to. But I don't like to cancel because I don't want to disappoint people that come to the show. So I go out, and sometimes I push myself to the brink.
It's because you're a professional.
Well, but I have had people write in and say, you know, you should have canceled. You know, we've heard you better than this.
Well.
But, I mean, you know,
here's the
at
thing,
least
too.
I was there.
You were there.
You know.
And you gave it all you got.
And the problem that I have, too, is the fact that my cousin Julie has canceled a lot of dates and didn't show up. You know, and I don't want him to say, you know, was he then trying to copy his cousin again?
Well, that would be a stretch. That would be a stretch to follow that side.
Well, I just want to go out and do the best I can every time I walk.
I'll tell you what, man, I am thrilled that you're doing this, that you're singing so good. You're singing so good.
Well,
right
thank
now.
You. I'm doing four shows at my theater in Branson. I'm working Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday afternoon at 2:00. I'm keeping the weekends open so I can do road dates because I enjoy going out and taking the music to the folks. When I got to theater in Branson, the people came to us.
Sure.
Now, the theater gave me a platform to learn how to be a better performer. And I got to tell you, when I was doing five and six shows a week, you either got to get better or just quit.
You learn.
That you learn from your mistakes.
You're always learning.
And I videotape every show.
Okay.
So I can go back and I say, I can't believe I did that. You know?
So you go back and try to improve things
as
you can.
I go back and look at things. And then I had a comedian that worked with me for 17 years there in Branson. And we did skits back and forth. So I learned to be an acting role, so to speak, you know. Because we was doing things, you know, we had to make it look real every time.
Sure.
So we would do skits. And it was a fun thing working with him. Because he died at 43 and he worked with me for 17 years. But a lot of people compared us to, like, Martin and Lewis. Because, you know, we was going back and forth all the time. With
him.
And the more that he would get on me being the star, supposed to be at the show... And he would get on to me, you know, and I would turn around. And I asked him one time, he says, hey, when are you going to introduce me? I said, you going to do something special? He said, I hadn't planned on it. I said, when you do something special, I'll introduce you. He said, I think you ought to introduce me now. I'm out here in the front. These guys are back in the back, and you've already introduced them. And stuff like that, you know. So we'd be back and forth with a lot of different things.
Well, you seem really good at where you are right now. You seem really happy with where you are right now.
I'm having more fun now performing and working my career a little bit than I have since I've been in the music business. During the 80s, I would have had a lot better records if I hadn't partied so much.
I understand.
But I'm older now. Can I say older and wiser?
Yeah, you could say that.
but I'm older now, and I enjoy the music. And people ask me, you know, why are you involved in all these different things? I said, look, only thing I want to be is in the singing business. I don't want to be in all this other stuff. I got a theater in Branson. I got people running it for me. I got a restaurant next door. My son's running it for me. And I got these clubs. You know, I got the thing in Vegas and in Oklahoma, and I got all these things. And I said, that's my mailbox money. Leave it alone. I don't have to fool with it.
Mailbox money.
And the bottom line, the bottom line is, you know, I don't want to be in business. I just want to be in singing.
Yeah. So, well, it has to be that case, yeah. Or else why would you, after what's happened, why would you work so hard to come back to sing?
Well, absolutely.
It has to be that.
I could retire, but when am I going to retire to? You know, I only know one thing. Yeah. I only went to the 10th grade in school.
Okay.
And God's been good to me. The fans have been good to me. God gave me a voice, and I got really, really upset when I found out that George Strait and Garth was going to quit, you know, and they said they was going, you know, they're done. And I'm thinking, where's the passion, you know, in the music? You know, I don't want to quit. I want to go like Ray Price. I want to go until I'm dead. You know, and I mean, look what career he had. You
sure,
know? I mean,
absolutely.
He had some great music.
Absolutely.
You know, well, Eddie Arnold. You know,
yeah. I think.
I want to go out in a blaze of glory.
I think. All right. I think that the skill and the professionalism that you have and what you're doing now after what an incident that out of the blue could have sidelined you forever. I'm not trying to be maudlin about it, but that was a you know,
very true.
You're probably this far away from not waking up.
It was in all essence, I should have died. I mean, I'm very lucky I didn't break my neck when I fell.
Yeah.
The only thing that I heard when I fell was I heard somebody say, don't move. And the next thing I heard some say, well, I was already in the ambulance, and I heard somebody say, we're going to Cox. And I heard that, and I knew then it was going to the hospital in Springfield. And I was out. I woke up 2 days later, and I couldn't move.
Well, now, get ready, world, because Mickey's moving and singing.
I'm hoping that I can get back to the point that I can play piano again. And,
you will. What do we already decide?
Yeah.
When you get back.
When I get back.
Not if, when you get back.
Well, my goal is to fall, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, man, this has been a great pleasure,
Steve,
for me, Mickey.
Been an honor and pleasure.
I'm absolutely thrilled.
Thank you, sir.
So happy for where you are right now and what you're doing with your music. People are going to be so happy when they see you and hear you singing some more.
Thank you.
It's going to be great.
If I ever get a chance to make some more recordings and I find the right songs, I'll be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.